So this morning, if it's your first time being back in church for a while, or you haven't been to this church, don't worry when I tell you what the name of the sermon is, okay? I don't want you to run out like you just stepped into a cold or anything, but today we just happen to be talking about demons, okay? So I don't mean like, not that kind of demon. I'm talking about the demon in the Bible, and so the demons in the Bible, okay? Here's the thing. At Three Trails, we wholly believe in the Word of God. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, we believe in the Word of God. So in the Word of God, there is a lot of talk about demons. And so when I was preparing for this lesson, I'm like, man, what's the power in that? What do these demons act like, and why do they act that way, and on and on and on. And so as I was studying this, if everybody wants to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And this is a situation about how a demon reacted to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of, if you don't have a Bible, no big deal. I got a lot of the scripture on the overhead. But the Bible talks a lot about demons. And in this particular scenario, there was this demon that was like off the chain. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you, and you just follow with me here. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the region of Gerasenes. Now, they, meaning Jesus and the disciples, come to the other side. As soon as Jesus got off the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. He lived in the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him anymore, not even with a chain, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had torn the chains apart and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Okay, I'm a very visual person. And like I said, I believe this wholeheartedly. So I want you to envision this demon, okay? It's not like, it's in a man. The town has tried to restrain him. You can't restrain him. The chains don't work. Nobody's able to overpower him. So basically, I think they kind of like shoot him over to this, what says, what do they call it? It basically was a cemetery. It says tombs, but it was like a place where all the people, they put the died there. So he was hanging out. And overnight, and all through the day, on the side of the mountain, this dude's like, ah! You know what I'm saying? Like, because sometimes I think we read the Bible and we think, oh my gosh, that was a demon, I'm so scared. No, this was like a demon that nobody could deal with, right? And so, what's interesting about this, though, is that none of these people could do anything with him. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 5, it says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down before him. And he cried out with a loud voice, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me. For Jesus had told him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then Jesus asked him his name. And his name was Legion. He answered him, because we are many. And he begged Jesus earnestly not to send them out of the region. A large herd of pigs were there feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, send us to the pigs so that we may enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out of and entered the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned there. So it wasn't just one demon in this situation. Sorry, I have my lip gets stuck to my teeth because I don't speak a lot, so it's a dry mouth, But you said what? I speak a lot, but not up here. This is different. You want to try? Okay. No, just kidding. Okay, so it wasn't just a demon. It was several, almost 2,000 demons. And what was super cool about it to me is that as soon as Jesus stepped onto the scene, all of a sudden this legion of demons runs up and they kneel in front of him. Like, if I was that strong, John, I'm just telling you, I'd be like, who are you? You know what I'm saying? Jesus, I kicked all these dudes' butts. Can't nobody keep me down. But for some reason, this demon runs to Jesus and kneels. Why is that? And And so we're going to kind of go in and see and uncover why that would be. So last week, I had the privilege of going to youth and sitting in youth where my beautiful wife taught the class. And we're on this the Son of God series because we want people to understand that Jesus was the Son of God. And she was going through Job 38 with them. And so in this chapter, so kind of a history, Job was like God's boy. And Satan was like, man, if you took your hedge of protection away from Job, he wouldn't worship you anymore. He'd be done with you. And God's like, oh, no, not my boy. Oh, I'm not worried about that. Satan, you can go do whatever you want to do. You just can't kill this dude, right? So he takes his hedge of protection, and Job is like, man, it's the worst thing. He loses his family. He loses all his everything, his wealth, all of it, gone, even down to the point where he had boils on his body. And his friends and things were telling him, man, hey, curse God, or his wife. His wife. And when, I don't know about y'all, but when my wife tells me to do something, typically I'm like, okay. But his wife tells him to do, and Job stays the race, right? And so this is in this verse, in this chapter 38, let me turn there. In chapter 38, it talks about God reacting to Job kind of losing his faith, like, God, why are you doing this to me? And then he starts talking like a dad. He starts talking like, what'd you say to me? Not feast, that sound for me? Dad, I'm sorry. Anyway, but do you guys remember some of the things? So when he starts talking about Job, he's reminding him, he's like, hey, check this out. Where were you when I created this earth? Where were you? I mean, did you have anything to do with that? Do you guys remember any of the things that we read? Like, anybody, just say one thing. One thing, what did it say about God? How mighty was he? Okay, thanks. So, okay. Right. I mean, and listen, any parents in here know you have said that before, right? Oh, you know the answer, right? You got this? Oh, okay. Tell me how you're going to do that then. Well, but so you can imagine how Job kind of felt at this point in time. But the thing that I caught was, this is God speaking in verse 38, chapter 38, verse 6, he says, what supports its foundations or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Uh-oh. What are the morning stars and the sons of God? Now, this is, he's talking to them about when he created the earth, right? So, I'm already there. Yeah, so morning stars are angels. Sons of God are angelic hierarchies. And we always call him Lucifer, like Lucifer, he's the devil. That's kind of a King James version. This is Hebrew. The Satan meant adversary. So, is everything anti-God, okay? So, they were there and experienced the magnitude and the sovereignty of God. And if you don't know the story, you know, Lucifer got a little big for his britches and said, God, I got this. You know, I'm going to be above you. And God was like, you don't know who I am, do you? Do you know who I am? And so he sent Lucifer packing. And Lucifer was such a good, I keep saying Lucifer, the Satan, the adversary. He was such a good leader that he took a third of the angels with them. Now, when you think about demons and the devil, what do you think about? Monsters. Or the, you know, the red dude with the two horns that got the long tail and all that, right? False. The Bible is very clear about who the Satan was. In Ezekiel 28:11-4, it talks about the adversary, but not in the way that we typically think of him. It says that he was the seal of protection. Perfection, full of wisdom and perfect beauty. He was of angelic hierarchy. He led so well that he took a third, which we just talked about that, of the angels with him. And at one time, he rejoiced in God and his creation. So, when we think of demons and all that, like they're going to come in and they're going to make us scared and they're going to give us nightmares, I think they do that. But overall, I think they're the pretty ones. Ladies, they're the Fabio or Brad Pitt, Zoe, sorry. Or you know, one of these good-looking dudes that everybody, or, you know, I mean, it's like they would not be like, oh, they'd be more attractive. You'd be wanting to be around them, and they'd speak so smooth. And guess what? They know the Word of God a lot better than we do because they've been around for a long time. They also know Jesus. They were all there when our God, the God of the universe, created this world. Then all rejoiced at the glory and power of God in creation. And the best way to unpack the Bible is the Bible. And here's some more scripture. John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that had been created. So we know he was there. The demons know he's there. The Satan knows he was there. And that's why they start getting a little, when Jesus comes on the scene, because they know. Do we know? We act like that? We have that kind of reverence for God? I don't believe we do. And I'm speaking, let me just talk about myself. I won't talk about any of y'all because I know you guys are great. I'm just talking about me. Where are the demons now? How come we don't hear about them anymore? Back in Jesus' day, they were in the church. How come we don't hear about demons in America anymore? I'm going to go to Luke 4 real quick. Pastor, you don't know where Luke 4 is? You call yourself a pastor and you can't get there in the Bible? What kind of... Okay, Luke 4, and we're going to read verses 31 through 38. And it says, then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astonished in his teaching because his message had authority. Wonder why it had authority. You think he knew what he was talking about? I lost my place. Okay, then they were astonished because of his authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean demonic spirit who cried out with a loud voice, "Leave us alone. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent and come out of him." And throwing him down before them, the demon came out without hurting the man that he had possessed. And amazement came over them. All of them were saying one to another, "What is this message? For he commands the unclean spirits with authority and power, and they come out." And news about him began to go out to every place in the vicinity. Wow. So you know a synagogue, it says right there, a synagogue was a building or a place where Jewish assemblies or congregations met for religious worship and instruction, kind of like a church. Now, that's an example of how there was a demon present in church and dwelt in a man, and Jesus comes in and he's like, "Oh my gosh, it's the man. You know, what do we got to do with you? You can't even help it." But I wonder how many times that same demon was in the synagogue. You think that was the first time he was there? Or do you think he just sat back in the cut on a regular basis? Because he knew people are going to show up on Saturday. You know what I'm talking about right now. Everybody's getting nervous. I'm going to show up on Sunday, church. Everybody's going to ask me, "How you doing, Terry?" "Oh, bless Jesus. I'm just in a good mood and everything's good. My family's good. My kids never disbehave, blah, blah, blah." You know, so we come to church on Sunday, and then we go home and crack open. Now, nothing's wrong with having a beer, so please don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying drink too much either, but I just want to say that because Brantley is filming right now. Okay, anyway, nothing's wrong with it, but then we go home, we crack open 10 beers, and I'm like, "Steph, shut up. Kids, go outside and play." And our kids see that kind of, right? Like, so, but that's what, now imagine the demon. He's like, "Man, I show up every on Saturday for the Jewish folks, but I show up every week, I sit right here, and ain't nothing changing." But then Jesus walked in, he's like, oh my gosh, this is the real deal, Holyfield. I'm not going to mess with this guy, because this guy is the creator. There's power in this man that just walked into church. I can't sit in anymore, I got to get out. But please don't, like, cast me into hell, Jesus. Just let me kick it somewhere else. I'll go to somebody else's synagogue. Moving on. When's the last time you've heard about a demon in America? And is that because there isn't any? Or is that because they don't have to? I don't know how many times you've heard in other countries about demon possession. Because if you've ever taken a mission trip anywhere, it's all the time. All the time. And there's black magic and voodoo, and they're everywhere. But why do they need to be here? Listen, sometimes we give too much credit to the devil. We go, oh man, the devil made me do it. The other day, I had to flip him off. He crossed me out. Then right? We try to blame it on somebody, the devil. Here's my argument, guys. Does he even need to do anything? Does he need to do anything at all? Because you know what we worry about? We got a big house, and we got a nice car. We got that. I'm focused on that. That's a necessity. I got to have my big house. I got to have my car. I got to have my girlfriend. I got to have this. I got to have that. And nothing's wrong with those things. Listen, if you got a big house, God bless you. I don't mean anything by that. But when your focus is that and not Jesus, what's he got to do with us? You know, these people in other countries can't have their Bible in church. They can't have a Bible. They will die. You want some real faith? You want a real relationship with Christ? Go to another country. That's real faith right there. Because I bet you almost everybody in this room has one of these at home. And I bet you, now I've got a couple that got dust on it too. So listen, when I'm talking to me. I don't want anybody to get offended. He's always talking about us being sinners. No, I'm a sinner too. But my thing is, we all have this. And how much do we respect it, get in it, or do anything about it? We don't. It's at our everyday exposure. We can talk to Jesus, walk with Jesus. We can be out in the street. We can walk down the street and praise, and we can do all that. So why? How come we don't see more demon activity in America? Why? Listen, if I'm a demon, I am sitting back in the cut like, oh, Ray came on Sunday, but I seen him last night on Saturday. Woo-hoo. Right? Okay, so this is my all-time favorite of the Bible. I don't know why, because it just reminds me of like, so I'm going to turn to Acts real quick, Acts 19. And this is this is so powerful, but at the same time, it's kind of funny, right? So I'm going to read 19, and I'm going to go through, chapter 19, verses 11 through 17 there. Okay, bear with me. There was kind of like a revival. This is Acts. There was kind of like a revival. Paul was running around. He was starting churches. He was inspiring people. People were coming to know Jesus left and right, and seeing how miraculous that power of Jesus is. So starts in verse 11. It says, God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands, so that even face cloths or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out. Now, some itinerant Jewish exorcists. Now, itinerant is just a big word for people that go place to place, okay? Also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so these guys were like, they traveled in and out. You know, they were kind of a big deal, but, you know, they were a big deal because they went to the right spot and they kind of got the popularity and probably good speakers and all that stuff. And so they wanted some of the attention that was going on. So they tried to cast those evil spirits out saying, I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, seven sons of Sceva, which were the Jewish high priests, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them. It's kind of funny. But seriously, he was like, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who is you? He didn't say is. I said is. He said, who are you? But they come in. I catch you out in the Jesus that Paul preaches, and they're like, who are you? And then, check this out. Then the man who had the evil spirits jumped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they ran out of the house, booty behind, naked and wounded. And then when this became known to everyone, they start rejoicing and shouting the name of Jesus and all that. It's kind of funny, right, Chaz? Like, you know, they come in and like, they saw the hoopla. Paul's, you know, people just touched something that he wore. People are getting healed and they're like, oh yeah, Paul, check this out. I command you out in the name of Jesus that Paul talks about. And the demon was like, oh, no, you didn't. Right? Oh, no, do you? Oh, I see what you're doing. But guess what? I'm about to kick your butt. I'm about to send you packing booty butt naked. I think that is so. I mean, that is funny, right? But that's a lesson we could all learn. Because I wonder, whose Jesus do we believe in? Is it my Jesus that I believe in? Or do I believe in Pastor Blake's? What Jesus do you believe in? Who do you believe in your favorite speaker's Jesus? As I tell you this right now, I love me some Tony Evans. I love me some Tony Evans, and I love me Andy Stanley. And you guys might say people like Joel Osteen and, you know, might have all kinds of people that you love. But if you rely on their Jesus, it's not going to get you that far. Because I can tell you story after story how a major pastor or leader got up there and was preaching and teaching, and everybody was swinging on him like, oh, yes, oh, Lord. And then they commit adultery, and they leave the church, or they embezzle from the church. And guess what happens to their following? They do the exact same thing. Oh, man, that Pastor Terry Shane, he was awesome. But guess what? Man, he was taking money from the church. That Jesus ain't real. Listen, if you are relying on my Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you're going to leave when I do. Or you get the books, and you hear this guy, he's preaching, and you're like, on fire. Oh, he's so good, he's so good. But if it's his Jesus that you're worshiping, if you don't have a relationship with him, how good is that? Because as soon as something falters with that guy, or I've heard this 100 times, hey, pastor, you know, I'm just not getting fed anymore. What are you telling me that for? You know what my job is? My job is to edify you. My job is to teach you to get into the Word of God. My job is to explain it so that it's easier for you to get to, but it's not my job to have a relationship for you with your Jesus. What about the Jesus that your parents taught you to believe in? My kids right now are saying, oh, dear God, please don't be that Jesus. Because when I was a long time ago, I was not a good person. And so they heard me say this, but they saw me do this. Can I get amen? Okay. All right. Nafis was the loudest. He's like, yeah, Dad. But it's the truth. And then I would argue this. I would argue the reason that kids don't come to church anymore because they did love the Jesus that their parents did. Their parents said one thing. Their parents said, oh, this is what you should do. This is how you should be. But then when they were watching their parents every week, they never lived it out. So if that's the Jesus of the Bible, guess what? I don't have anything to do with it. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. And I think you could take that parent scenario and put it to the church Jesus, the Jesus of the church, and all we do is look outside our doors and go, oh, my gosh, that person is, they're an alcoholic. That person is a homosexual. That person is this. Who cares? We're not supposed to judge them on that. We're supposed to love them. That's the God of the Bible that's responsible for that. So then there's the American Jesus, and all the white people and black people are like, please don't say this out loud. Okay, so there's the American Jesus with the blue eyes and blonde hair and the African-American Jesus. All I mean by that is, you know that Jesus, that Jesus has to look like you, Tyler, he just like you, because, you know, Jesus is a good dude. He probably had a beard, you know, and I mean, Jesus has to look like me, has to think like me. Those people over there, Jesus cannot look like them. I mean, they just keep having babies, you know, live off the welfare. Oh, my gosh, you know, those people. He's got to be like me. Or the African-American Jesus looks like me, right? You get what I'm saying? He has to look like me, and Jesus will forgive me because I'm a pretty good person, and he looks just like me. Don't follow that Jesus, I'm telling you, because Jesus don't care. Now, listen, he loves diversity, but he's not basing anything on you based on your color. Based on where you come from. You can't have the Jesus that's blonde-eyed and blue hair. You can't, blonde-eyed, blue-eyed, blonde hair. You can't have an American Jesus. You got to have the Jesus, the creator of the universe, the Son of God. You can't have that Jesus. The ATM Jesus. I don't even have to go here because you already know what that means. My bills ain't paid, Jesus. I swear I'll not cuss all week long if you can just give me $500 to pay that light bill, right? That Jesus, you know, like we need anything else in America. And I know there's situations where we're down and out, guys, but we are the most blessed people in the world. So when we're talking about Jesus, give me that, come on with that, right? And this one breaks my heart. I'm going to try not to cry because I'm a crier, but the golden ticket Jesus, I hate it. Because the golden ticket Jesus, this is what he does. He says, you know, I'm talking about those homosexuals or those alcoholics. I got my Jesus. I'm not worried about you. I don't care what you, I got my Jesus. And guess what? I show up every Sunday. So I'm going to heaven. I got my golden ticket, Jesus. I said, I love you. I know you're the Son of God. I know I got my Jesus. Well, I need to go out and talk to these people about anything. Why do I have to love them? I have my golden ticket. I pray to God nobody in this room is worried about their golden ticket, because if you really know Jesus, you're worried about them, not you. And so I guess my point is we cannot live off other people's Jesuses. We can't do it. And here's what scares me with that golden ticket part. You don't have to believe that there is a God, but there is. You don't have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but he is. And so why not live your life out according to the Word of God and the morals and the principles? Because I promise you, it is not boring, which a lot of people think it is. You can still do fun things. And the other thing it's not like God is sitting up here on his throne waiting to throw down that lightning bolt when you sin. We gave an example a long time ago about that bullseye. You guys remember the bullseye? The bullseye, this is how God thinks. Got this big old bullseye, and there is the blessing in the middle. Okay, this is where God wants you. Here's the whole board, okay? When you sin, all that is you're missing your blessing. Your blessing's right here. God is not waiting for you to do this over here so he can go, I gotcha. He wants you not to miss your blessing. God is not this evil God that is just waiting to throw you into hell. Listen, I got saved by people saying, turn to burn. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell forever. It's eternal fire. Blah, blah, blah. Now, listen, there's some truth to that. Well, that is the truth. But that's not what should bring you to Jesus. You should come to Jesus because he wants to bless you, and he wants to be your Jesus. He doesn't want to. Listen, and Courtney, you've known me since we've been in high school. You don't want my Jesus either. You know why? Our Jesus is the same, but it's different. But you don't want my Jesus because guess what? You know me. I had two kids at the age of 17. I could talk about all the sin in my background. And now that I've got my life right, Jesus is dealing with me on the consequences of those sin, and he's helping me go further and further. You don't have the same situation. Do you want God to treat you the same way he treats me? I got 7 kids, and I promise you, I can't treat Curtis like I treat your car. I can't treat your car like I treat Curtis. I can't treat sister like I treat. I can't do it. Because, I mean, I'll have a relationship with them, and I'm still dad, one person, and I got 7 different people, but I have to treat them all differently. And that's the same way that your relationship with Jesus should be. If you have my Jesus and the relationship I have, it's not going to work well because I'm going to mess up. You're going to see me say something. I said butt on camera. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that later. You know, people are going to say, I'm not going to that church. Terry said 3 times. So there I go. I got a ticket the other way. But the only Jesus you should believe in is the Jesus of the Bible that you know and love and communicate with on a regular basis. That the one you miss if you haven't sat down and talked to him for a while. The one that knows your deepest and darkest and most intimate. Because listen, you don't have to tell him. Guess what? He already knows. The one that you talk to, not only when things are great, but when everything is falling apart. The one you call on, not only when someone is sick, but the one that you thank for just waking you up every morning. Because believe me, that's a blessing. Y'all remember Louisa? She's not with us anymore. Denny's not with us now. I believe they're in the best place you could be in. But that's not a promise that we get. The one that you recognize for making the sun to rise and set every day. The Son of God. Any other Jesus has no power. And if you're walking with that Jesus, well, this is not my turn or burn verse, but it's true to me, and I have to say it out loud. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And we drive out demons in your name? And we did many miracles in your name? And then Jesus is going to turn around to them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. I don't want you to have my Jesus. I don't. I want you to have your Jesus. Now, it's one Jesus, but like I'm one dad, but all you guys were created by him. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what you need. And you, my Jesus doesn't have the same thing your Jesus has for you. You don't want my Jesus. I want you to have your Jesus, and I never want you to get up there in front of him talking about, I did the mobile food pantry. I went to the nursing home, and I fed the, I don't care. He doesn't, listen, he loves those things. Don't get me wrong. But my point is, that's not what it's about. Once you get a relationship with him, all that stuff comes natural. You start moving that way because of the relationship. Just like my kids, they try to, if I start yelling at my girls, and I don't mean yelling, like when I say yelling at Nafis, I'm like, boy! But when I start yelling at my girls, yelling to them is like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? It's like, Dad, I didn't mean, because my girls are different. I want you guys to understand that it's different. You have to have that relationship. I think I beat that dead horse long enough. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with your ATM or your favorite speaker's Jesus, the ATM Jesus, or the golden ticket Jesus. He wants an intimate relationship with you. I know this sounds funny, but how awesome would it be if in this church a demon couldn't sit here? Because we have learned to have our relationship with our Jesus, and we don't take our golden ticket and just hide it, but we start moving in the community. We start showing people how to have that relationship with Jesus. When they come here, it's changed. Like, I'm telling you, people that came from my buddy Richard and Eric, when they come, all this diversity, this is not normal for church. And I'm not calling any church bad. I'm just saying, like, it's different when people come, and everybody is getting along. I don't like Blake this morning, but other than that, everybody else is good. I just wanted to pick on you. I don't really want a demon here, but wouldn't it be nice that if a demon tried to attend Three Trails, he would be like, I know Jesus, and I know you. I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul. And we can't move those demons if we don't have our own Jesus. Can't be anyone else's. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity. You know, as my knees shake and my lips get dry, and you got me through all of this. And so I want to thank you for that. And then I really want to pray for anyone that doesn't have their own personal relationship with you, and that you just start tapping on that heart a little bit so that they can recognize who you are, and so that they can start hitting that bullseye and not looking at you like this evil God that just doesn't want them to have a good life. And I pray for Three Trails community that we start, I think we already are, but by getting the recognition that we had at the Chamber of Commerce, it's not recognition for us, God. It's them seeing that a church is actually not just going out and asking people to come in. It's us going out and loving on them for a change. And that's a big difference, God. And I pray that you strengthen us in that, and that we continue to do that, and we continue to build bridges, and that we continue to get that relationship, that personal relationship with you. We love you, we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.